Under the protection of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has guided many devotees towards Krishna, and it is very kind of him that he has given us shelter while we are still waiting for Radha Gopinath to finish the temple. I think all of us feel a great separation. Oh, when will Radha Gopinath again open the temple that we can be before them? They increase our separation and our hankering, which is good for us. So Lord Shiva has given us shelter in this beautiful hall. Today I will discuss a subject matter which is quite stimulating. I will talk about how to make our biggest enemy our greatest friend. I'm giving this lecture by the inspiration of Gauranga Das, who has requested me. And I hope I will address all of your deepest concern in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
it was very good that at the outset of today's lecture, conquering our greatest enemy, you did not want to stop chanting. Just like a fish who is on land, always aspires for the water, the devotee in this material world always aspires for a deeply satisfying spiritual atmosphere. And when devotees come together and chant together the holy names, this spiritual atmosphere is immediately generated and one doesn't want to stop it. For a moment, we will go into analyzing the mind. It will be a little intense. When the doctor takes out his scalpel, it will be a little intense. So when the sadhus begin to analyze our fallen situation in the world, it is not without intensity, but we will soon come to the inspiring levels of Krishna consciousness. In the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna introduces in verse number 6 the worstest of enemies and the best of friends. He says, Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajita anatmanastu shatrutve vatetatmaivachatruvat. For him who has conquered the mind, the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. While we are in this material world, the mind very often runs away from Krishna in the service to Krishna. And at that moment, the mind begins to entangle us in various misconceptions and illusions. To illustrate this, I will tell you a little story, which I have told this morning in our Bombay temple, in Juhu Beach. Once there was a man from Mumbai. And he went on a pilgrimage to Mayapur to take his sacred bath in the Ganga. At the time, he was fully expectant to get the mercy of Ganga Devi. He cupped his hands like this and made offerings of Ganga water to Ganga, as it is customarily done when you enter a holy river or a holy reservoir of water. Gange cha jamuna chaiva gauravadi sarasvatim. The sun was beautifully setting and he felt so happy. But as he was drinking the Ganga's water, his happiness was disturbed. It seemed to him that he had drunken a little baby frog with the water. The correct English word for baby frog is tadpole, I was informed. It's a little round thing like this, which has a tail, which moves and propels it. Do you all know what is a tadpole? It has no hands, no feet, it's round like a button of a shirt,
And there's a tail which moves.
Oh no! I have been a vegetarian, said our man from Bombay, for all my life. Now I have gone to sacred Mother Ganga to become a non-veg. This is terrible.
He could barely manage to get out of the water. Hare Krishna Nishinga Kavata. And he lay down at the bank of Mother Ganga with serious heart problems because he was so shocked. Doctors came, but no one could help him because it became clear to everyone this man was suffering from an illusion. The people from Bengal told him there are no baby frogs in the Ganga, the current is too swift. There are only baby frogs in the pukurs. You know what is pukur? It is all over Bengal, little ponds, because the water table is very high. In Bengal you only need to dig for a maximum of 1 meter and you have a nice pukur with water. So they informed him, you are suffering from an illusion, your mind makes you suffer. There are no baby frogs in the Ganga, they're in the pukurs. Give up your disease and become healthy. But this didn't work. The mind was so strong of this person, the illusion was so deep, that he actually began to die. Finally, in the last minute, they caught a sadhu, and informed him, this man is thinking he has become a non-veg on the holy pilgrimage, but it is not, it is an illusion. You do something. So the sadhu went to this poor fellow and said, be clever, vomit. Maybe the baby frog is still living. And the man went, I do not want to express the dirty detail. Our Virachan patients know enough of this subject matter. So when it was all coming out, the sadhu had a little baby frog in the head. And then he said to the man, look there! And he threw the little baby frog. And he said, listen, look! You have not killed a living entity. The baby frog is comfortably swimming there. And now immediately you must take it to the pukur, to the lake, and it will comfortably swim there. Don't bring it to the Ganga. It will die in the Ganga. There are no baby frogs in the Ganga. Bring it to the pukur. The man immediately got up, ran to the next pukur, put the tadpole from where it came, the pukur, and was cured. He knew I had not killed a baby frog. My dear devotees and my dear skeptics in the audience, we have laughed about this amusing story, but did you know that this is happening to you every day? Every day you go deep into an illusion which is projected by your consciousness into your mind. Every day you begin to suffer from this illusion. Every day you forget the reality, being forced by the powerful mind. All of us here don't have any problems. All of us here have no tribulations, because all of us here and beyond this hall are Amrita Putras, children of immortality. We are all parts of Sachit Ananda Vigraha, of Sri Krishna, but by our mind. An illusion comes up, and we begin to suffer. We take our life so totally serious in our illusionary separateness from Krishna. Yes, this story can tell us how our mind is very, very powerful. So powerful that it creates many, many bad situations. In the Australian desert, it has been found that most of the people who die in the desert die only because they think they don't have enough water. Their bodies have enough water to subsist them for another day or so. But they think, oh no, I'm in the desert, no water, and they die. Most of the doctors have found out that many of their patients have problems due to mental stress, where their mind turns against them. There is a school here in Bombay, it's called the Laughing School, where people just learn to laugh and cure cancer and other problems with this, because they turn the mind around so that it is happy. Also, the ancient Vedas confirm that many diseases come from mental problems. Diseases come from uncleanliness, but then from stress, and I'm on the Ayurvedic treatment, and many things have left me, including my memory of certain details. our devotee knows what we are talking about. So, mentally induced health problems are very, very big. Here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is a friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. And I think these few examples which we have heard so far are enough to convince us. Let me ask you the question, what is the mind? It's an interesting question, isn't it? How would you define him? Oh, I see this question imposes a difficulty on you. What exactly is a mind? Shyamananda has come in the door quite some time ago. Have we seen his mind? Not really. But we all know that Shyamananda Prabhu is very intelligent and can think with his mind about different arrangements. Now on the marathon, he just told me, and so on. He has a mind, but we have not seen it. Hare Krishna, I mean it. Please don't create an offense against Shyamananda. We certainly have seen his mind in action. We have symptoms. We have seen symptoms that he can think very well. But have we seen his mind? Like we have seen his glasses, or we have seen the cup of water? No, because the mind is subtle. We understand that the mind is one out of three subtle material elements: manas, buddhi, and ahankara. Together, these three from the subtle material body, which is inside the gross body, but which can sometimes also leave the gross body. When you, for instance, think of a far distant relative, it sometimes happens that the relative feels, oh, you are present. The mind can wander. During this lecture, I guarantee you that there will be about 1 million mind wanderings. How do I come to this amazing figure? Well, we have about, 400 in the audience today, and each one of the 400 people will wander with their minds about 50 times. So 400 times 50, oh, this is not 1 million. 20,000 mind journeys we have during this lecture, because during an average lecture, one single person will wander off 50 times from the subject matter. His body is there, but his mind is somewhere else. I have seen some of you today, I will not call names. Their bodies are here, but their minds are totally somewhere else. Come to the hall. Come to the lecture. Let us hear and concentrate. The mind is a subtle element. It resides in the area of the heart, surrounded by 5 pranas, and it has mainly 2 functions. Who knows what are the 2 functions of the mind? Sankalp and vikalp. Sankalp means we accept something or someone, and vikalp means we reject something or someone. These functions of the mind become extremely disturbing in relationships. Sometimes we like our marriage partner, but then the next day, for sometimes unexplainable reasons, we develop something like a rejection. Do you know what I am talking about? Sometimes you think this person is my friend, but then you hear some information that he has stolen your gulab jamun, and the same what was an acceptance becomes all of a sudden a rejection. Politics are all on this level, accepting and rejecting someone. Or also something. Situations become accepted by us and rejected by us. Do they really become accepted and rejected by us? Well, we have to say, it's more the mind. To finish our analysis, our mind has an additional 3 qualities. Thinking, and then the emotions, that means feeling, and then the willpower, that means willing. These are another 3 functions of the mind. Thinking, feeling, and willing. A person must be very careful what he allows himself or herself to think, because often it is found that our thoughts will determine our emotions, and our emotions will determine first our decisions and then our actions. Be very careful to practice mental hygiene in this world. Very often it has been found out that people commit the most ugliest of sexual crimes. No one knew that this could ever happen. Sometimes in our movement we experience, oh, where is so and so? oh, he has gone. He's doing something totally different now. And we wonder, how could this happen? It happened in the mind. There was some secret thinking. Then the thinking became bigger, and there were some emotions for what was thought about. One felt very strongly. And then finally, the desires manifested into will, decisions and actions. So, for a conditioned soul who is in this material world, he must be very, very careful to use the mind in the proper way. It is said, for man, mind is the cause of bondage, and mind is the cause of liberation. Mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage, and mind detached from the sense objects is the cause of liberation. My dear devotees and dear skeptics alike, let us now, in the last portion of this presentation, discuss what we can do so that our mind is the cause of our liberation. Let us offer solutions to the problems of which face most of us, and that is the mind which wanders away from Krishna and goes into the material world, where it develops attachments. Once there was a monkey. Haribol. This monkey lived happily on a tree. I've told this story in Juhu Beach. And this tree was a jackfruit tree which supplied all the needs of the monkey. However, one day a crocodile came. He had just eaten another crocodile and needed a place to lay on the left side for digestion purposes. So the crocodile went on land, came under the tree of the monkey, the jackfruit tree, and rested, and then woke up and belched, a satisfied belch. And the stink of the digested meat went to the monkey, and he thought, horrible, horrible. I will never end in the stomach of a crocodile and smell like this. So then the crocodile looked around, saw the monkey, and said, hello. The monkey had a very cool and distant hello. The crocodile said, let us talk a little bit about ethical principles. What do you know about ethics? Asked the monkey. Quite a lot. Do not hurt your neighbor. Keep loyalty to your friends until hunger strikes. And he gave different materialistic principles. And the monkey said, you are totally wrong. Keep loyalty to your friends in all circumstances. That's a higher ethical principle. So they begin to discuss. And the monkey was annoyed about some of the opinions of the crocodile, but the crocodile came back the next day and slowly, timidly, full of cultural reservations, a friendship developed. After 1 month of discussing like this, the monkey threw down a jackfruit and said, here, take this. I'm pleased by our discussions. After another month, crocodile felt very friendly to his unusual friend, the monkey, because, as you may know, friendship sometimes develop also amongst people of unlike temperament. Finally, the crocodile took one of the jackfruits, which was given to him at the end of a discussion and brought it to his wife. "Oh," said his wife, "where there is one jackfruit, there must be more jackfruits." This is one of our mathematical teachings which we have received. "From where did you get this jackfruit?" "Oh," said the crocodile, "this is a little private question. I'm not able to answer this." "Oh no," said the female crocodile, "I knew you had another girlfriend." "Oh no, absolutely not," said the crocodile. "I am extremely chaste by nature." "You are suspecting wrongly." I know, you cannot cheat me. "If you don't tell me who is that friend who gives you jackfruit, then I will tell it to the council of the other crocodiles, and you know that there's only one judgment in the council of crocodiles, which is eat him up." But the crocodile, but he felt forced to tell the truth. "It's a monkey who lives on the jackfruit tree who gives me, as a result of our discussions, a jackfruit. That's all. That's all? I am married to a friend of a monkey? This is a scandal. If you do not bring me tomorrow the heart of this monkey, I will go to the council of crocodiles, and you know they only have one judgment." So the crocodile was forced to break his friendship with the monkey, because this was one of his principles: keep friendships until you are in danger. So he went to the monkey on the tree and said, "Friend, come with me. I have never shown you my house. My wife craves for your association." "Ah," said the monkey, "it's against my principles. I know crocodiles are the natural enemies of monkeys. Let us keep our friendship from the distance. I give you a jackfruit and you give me intellectual thoughts. This is enough for our friendship." No, "my wife is very, very determined," said the crocodile, "to see you and to give you a nice meal. Come for the sake of our friendship." So the monkey was a little foolish. He jumped down from the tree, he went with the crocodile, and they were in the midst of the river when all of a sudden the crocodile started to cry a very sentimental tear. "What's with you? Why are you crying?" asked the monkey. "Oh, I'm a little sentimental by nature." And then he said the truth: "Friend, just pray to your Ishta Devata. This is my advice to you." "Why should I pray now?" "Well, I have a nonsense wife who wants to eat your heart. I will dive down in a moment and drag you down and kill you. So just pray. This is my tip to you. I'm your friend after all." "Oh," said the monkey, what does your wife want from me? She wants to eat your heart. And I have to give this because otherwise I will be judged by the council of the crocodiles as a monkey lovers, and there's only one judgment amongst the council of crocodiles." So the monkey said, "Friend," he had to think very deeply first. Then he had an idea. "Friend, why didn't you tell this before? I have kept my heart in the tree. I have no heart with me. For security reasons, I keep it there. Why didn't you tell this?" said the crocodile. "Well, I didn't know that you wanted my heart." "Well, what should we do now?" "Simple solution, go back to the tree, swim back to the tree, and I will climb on the tree, and I will bring my heart, give it to you. Okay, so they went around, a U-turn, came back to the tree. The monkey immediately hopped on the tree and took time to look for the most rotten jackfruit in the universe, took it, went like, bash! You have betrayed me, go home, I will never speak with you again. This is how our story ends. The story has a moral, that in the material world, there are always the crocodiles of enviousness, greed, anger, and they want to take our heart. If we don't keep it on the Krishna Vriksha, on the tree of Krishna consciousness, we will be lost. Our minds will go into the material world, just they will go on the ride with the crocodile, and we will lose everything which we have, especially if we keep bad company. Someone who wants to avoid this needs to fully fill his mind with Krishna conscious thoughts. Only if in your mind is Krishna, you cannot be dragged down or out into the material world. Otherwise, you are lost. You are lost. You are lost. The mind is described to be like a cup. Either the cup is filled with milk or it will fill with ink. How can we say this? Well, very simple. Either our mind is filled with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, or it will fill in the inky atmosphere of the material world with the darkness of material thoughts. As I look out into your faces, and as I try to look into your cup-like minds, I can see some of you have deep Krishna consciousness in their minds. Their minds are filled with milk. But others, because of spending a whole week in stressy Bombay, stress town of India, called Bombay, Mumbai now, doesn't make a difference of the stress town. The mind is not enough full with Krishna. Therefore the mind looks a little dark. Bhagavatam tells us that the mind is like a flame. Do you know a kerosene flame? Kerosene lamp? As soon as the flame is not burning properly, what will happen? Smoke. And tooth. What is soot? Soot. What is the English word? Soot. Soot will gather on the glass of the kerosene lamp. This is what happens when our mind is not in Krishna conscious thought. It doesn't burn properly. And as a result, in our mind, soot will gather. And as a Then you can look at devotee, it's called face is the index of the mind, and you can see so much soot has gathered the last week because the mind was not properly situated. No? Haribol, please excuse me, but these things must be discussed. So therefore a responsible devotee will always try to practice mental hygiene. I'm thinking if this is the right word, because our doctors know if you are not keeping clean, you will become diseased. Plainly there. Please always try to understand devotee means the mind. We can put the Vaishnav cosmetic, the tilak, on. But if our mind is not clean, our face will show the soot. I do not know the word soot. Soot. The soot of our misguided thoughts. How can we think of Krishna? What to do? I want to ask all of you, because you are experienced Vaishnavas, what do we do so that our mind is properly put into place and that the flame of the mind is clear without whatever the word is. Suit. I need to see it in spelling. It's English is not my mother tongue. I'm a little in deep water with new words. It remains Krishna consciousness. We have certain experienced Vaishnavas here.
You are regularly from Sachindan Maharaj.
Our devotee has said to have proper sadhu sangha with proper sadhus who are rare to meet. What else? Devaki Nandan Prabhu. No, Devaki. Devaki Prabhu? Dvagadish Prabhu. You always look in an ecstatic Krishna consciousness. What is your advice? Send Hare Krishna. Adi Keshava Prabhu. What is your trick? How can you always be so Krishna consciousness? Hear from devotees. Have you... one moment. Yes, we will. I'm practicing now bhikshu. Bhikshu means you collect something. I'm collecting your answers. How can we make our mind Krishna conscious? Maybe what we should do is someone should write down and we should come up with a list. But all the answers which you give cannot be theoretical answers. They must be answers which you have experienced, because only then they carry the strength of conviction. I believe I have asked three devotees whose name I know, and who always appear to me to be situated in blissful Krishna consciousness, to start. So now we will hear from our youngest member. Associate with devotees. What is your name? Rishabh has instructed us. To associate with devotees, please keep the suit, a suit away from the mind. It is correct what Rishabha has said, because sometimes devotees will say, oh, you are doing a mistake, Prabhu. Or even without saying, we will feel some correction in the heart. Okay? What else? Our Matajis? You are right? No? Yes? Read in the Holy Scriptures. Very powerful. We should put our mind into the wonderful subject matter of Krishna's vision. Then we will not have a mind vision, a narrow mind vision. Mm-hmm. Read in Holy Scripture to get this Krishna vision. Prashad. The answer is very correct. Especially Mahaprasad has potency. In the Mahaprasad is a lot of spiritual potency which help us to associate with the spiritual energy. This energy cleanses us. What else do we do?
Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But what to do when we chant inattentively? We must chant attentively. It's very important. Hearing Krishna book. Yes. This year we are distributing Krishna books on the marathon. Our Shavananda has made this arrangement. It is very powerful. A book to pull the mind towards Krishna. Our brahmacharis are silent. What do you do?
Distribute Krishna books.
We distribute Krishna books. Those of you who have not yet a Krishna book, you should, after this lecture, or after prasadam, immediately consult the book distributors. We have a book, Krishna book, which is especially meant to fill your mind with Krishna. By serving devotees, yes, the devotees will remind us. Just the presence of a devotee reminds us of Krishna. Aha! You should convince the mind to follow the words of the devotees. I have become very humble after my Ayurvedic treatment. Alright, so this is, I think you all should make your own private list. What works for you? Let me see if I have a note here. Yes. One thing is what Namada Maharaj told me this morning. You must see that you are in a situation in your life that you can be satisfied. When you are not satisfied in your life, even if you are in spiritual life, if after a long period you are not satisfied, Hare Krishna, you came too late. If after a long time you are not satisfied, then the mind will become very restless and nervous. Therefore, we must make a situation, we must take care that we are in a situation where we can feel satisfied in Krishna consciousness. That means our engagement must be proper, we must have proper friendships with devotees, and our ashram must be proper. It's very important. It is said when there is dissatisfaction, then all the even spiritual knowledge can leave a person who is not so advanced, just like water leaves a pot which has holes. A very advanced devotee, you know, he can function in all situations and remember Krishna. But most of us, when we are sick, or when there is a problem which we have not solved, then our spiritual knowledge leaves us. My spiritual knowledge regularly leaves me at the chair of the dentist when there is so much pain that I cannot maintain my understanding that I am not the body. You know, it is. I am so happy that Radha Krishna Prabhu is out of the dangerous practice, because in this way our nice relationship will never be put on a severe test. Putting our humor away, please know, even a brahmana will lose his spiritual vision when he is allowing himself to be dissatisfied. Even when there's causes for dissatisfaction, try to not allow yourself that dissatisfaction enters. Another very important means to develop the mind or conquer the mind is given in the Bhagavatam in the 5th canto, chapter 11, the last text. And I want to read it to you, and Then after this point, I will come to the end of the class, feeling that some of your minds are wandering already. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer the mind by two weapons. One is service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. The Bhagavatam gives us two weapons. Serve a spiritual master. Make his mission your own mission in life. You will see how your mind begins to think no longer for your own selfish purposes, but in the mission of that soul. I want to praise Mother Palika today. When Mother Palika hears that Vaishnavas will come to the house, she begins to, her mind goes totally into planning a meal. And because she wants to please the Vaishnavas, having such a good heart, motherly heart, she always thinks what to do, what trick to do. Even last year I had an Ayurvedic treatment which restricted me from almost everything which had to do with eatables. And still Mother Palika geniusly found out ways and means to cook a huge feast which was still possible. Why? Because in her heart was a genuine desire to please a Vaishnava. And then her mind was working like a scientist, overcoming all the different difficulties of the job. This is exactly what happens when you develop a deep relationship to a great soul. Immediately your mind is bound by sincere affection and begins to think, how can we make it possible? Like Prabhupada used to say, impossible, he wouldn't accept it. Because for someone who is to surrender to his spiritual master and to Krishna, he will somehow make it possible. So this is the first thing. Conquer the mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And the second is service to Krishna. Put your rascal mind, which otherwise will bind you birth after birth after birth in the material world, put it into service to Guru and Krishna. Then you will see how your mind becomes your friend. Hare Krishna. I wish you all the best in this. Please do not ignore this class. This, what you have heard today, is meant for your good. It is meant to help you to control your enemy. If you do not think how you can bring your mind to Krishna, how you can stay with Krishna, the crocodiles of Crocodile Town, Bombay, will take your mind. The next advertisement will take it to illicit sex. The second advertisement will take it to Pratishtha, name, fame and glory. The third advertisement will take it into bad association. We are lost if we do not make the conscious choice to purify our mind by service to Guru and Krishna. Hari Bol! So, this is the end of my lecture. Now we have... We do have questions. So there is time for questions. Please ask a question. Or two.
Maharaj.
One moment. Do we have a second mic?
The mind is one of the material elements, and the material elements by themselves, they can not do anything. Matter cannot do anything. But why is the mind still very active?
I will rephrase your question. From where does the mind, which is a material element, get this fearsome power? The power which goes into the mind is coming from your free will. Each one of you has a jewel around the neck. It is called free will. When we use the free will to decide for Krishna, that is our constitutional position. But if that free will, it is called Svatantra Ratna, becomes misused, or if we make the choice to go against Krishna, then this very powerful thing, which can carry us, back home, back to Godhead. If you want to become Krishna consciousness, you can become Krishna conscious in 1 minute, Prabhupada said. This is how powerful free will is. But if it's still covered and so on, it will give the mind a lot of power to do nonsense. Ultimately, the mind's power comes from the soul. Prabhupada says the mind can act spiritually or materially according to how it is engaged. It is either para, that is transcendental, or avara. The moment you begin to think really spiritual thoughts, have you noticed the mind becomes full of light? It is spiritualized by thinking about Krishna. So if you think about Maya, it will become full of dark forces, and it has the power from the spiritual soul. The spiritual soul gives power to the body, the gross body, and also the subtle body. So from all of this, what I have said is many informations. I have not explained it so systematically. I want to summarize it for you. From the mind gets the power from the soul. The mind can, by free will, go into the material direction. Then he will misuse this power to become materially active, or it can go in the spiritual direction and use the power properly. Hare Krishna. Is there any other question? Yes.
Maharaj, if a person has come from a background or a country where his mind has been conditioned very badly due to material environment that he has been in, then after that when he comes into Krishna consciousness, it will be that much more difficult for him to erase that past conditioning. So how long does it take for a person in Krishna consciousness?
When a person comes from a very strong conditioning background, let us say, this is my addition, he experienced something very bad in his childhood and his friendship was always betrayed and so on and so forth. Isn't it more difficult for him to come to the stage of Krishna consciousness? No. And does it take longer? Well, the answer to this question is, if it would be up to the individual totally, then yes. But the process of Krishna consciousness is very dependent on the divine intervention of Krishna. And this divine intervention happens at the moment someone surrenders. In our history, there are examples of great prostitutes, murderers, and all kinds of people with bad backgrounds who have become great devotees by surrender. Krishna becomes impressed by Sharanagati, by surrender. and then gives his divine potency to such a soul. But if you are right, when someone does not surrender, who is very much conditioned and goes in a very slow way into Krishna consciousness, it will be more difficult. All right. So, I assume there are no more questions. I want to give you, for ending, a little surprise. I want to make an experiment with you to show you how extremely conditioned we are. Are you ready to make the experiment with me? It is a sitting experiment, and nothing will happen to you. You will remain the same person. I want to request all of you to please fold your arms. Fold your arms in such a way that you feel comfortable. Now I want to ask you, which arm is placed over which arm? My English is not so good. In my case, my right arm, this is my right arm, is placed over the left arm. Who is like this? People, yeah. Are there also devotees here who feel whose left arm is placed over the right arm? Yes? Good. Now, find out how your arms are placed. Right over the left or left over the right. So the next stage is, I want you to reverse the order. If you were right over the left, you have to place left over the right. If you were left over the right, you have to place right over the left. How do you feel now? You feel pain, or then you don't work properly for my experiment. I feel totally awkward. I feel like I could, I better run off the stage. Someone also feels awkward? And you, we should work very nicely. You should feel awkward. With this, I want to show you how strong habit is. No one ever thinks if he places the right arm over the left arm. It was never a question in your life, most probably. You just do it automatically, out of habit. Only when you start to break the habit and do something new, then you feel some resistance. This is also the case in your spiritual life. Out of habit, you are forgetting Krishna. Out of habit, you are going into a material thought. The moment you try to decide, I will become Krishna consciousness, there will be some period in your life where you need to fight. And your mind will tell you it's not right. But Prabhupada has given a very nice recipe for this. When the mind disturbs, there is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered. Neglect. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.